Let me state the obvious. If God doesn't speak by his Spirit, we're in trouble this morning. I think I'm pretty clear on what he revealed to me, but in conveying it to you, I hope it's coherent. Once again, it's got to be God's Spirit. So if you are talking to someone, especially in the church today, and they're talking about a passionate pursuit, or they're talking about something they focus a lot of energy or attention to, a lot of times we use the term calling. A lot of times it's used for an occupation or almost a way of life. So someone feels a calling into the medical field. Someone feels a calling to parent. Someone feels a calling to this kind of ministry. You hear it used so many times, you feel a calling to occupational ministry or full-time ministry. You feel a calling to missions. What happens is, in that expression, oftentimes we almost make that an exclusive statement. So, I feel a calling to preach. Well, that means it's not for everybody. I feel a calling to minister to the homeless, because that's just not for everybody. And if we're not careful, we can exclude ourselves based on this sometimes ambiguous term, calling. Well, they have a calling to this, or they have a calling to that. That's just not my calling. And secondary callings are fine. They're good. But what we miss is a primary calling. For those who have walked into a relationship with Jesus Christ, we have a calling to the person of Jesus Christ. Primarily, a calling to the person and the work of Jesus Christ and his kingdom that transcends and overshadows every other calling. In fact, every other calling does not have meaning unless we have the primary calling. Does that make sense? That we walk in a calling to Christ, first and foremost, and to the intentions of his heart. That is for every follower of his, for every believer. And therefore, our secondary callings find only a meaning in a primary calling to the person and the work of Jesus Christ. What has happened in our culture, in our church culture, as we have separated certain people, excluded certain people in many ways that are exceptional in ministering in their calling. Calling, quite simply, actually Oz Guinness defined calling like this. He says, calling is the truth that God calls us to himself. Right there, you can stop and see a primary call. Primarily, calling is the truth that God calls us to himself so decisively that everything that we are, everything we do, and everything we have is invested with a special devotion, dynamism, a direction lived out as a response to his summons and his service. That doesn't seem like it's separated for just a certain exceptional people, does it? We can't say, well, I'm not called to being that fanatic or that person that will engage God at deep levels. That's just not my calling. I'm not called to ministry. That definition of calling is all-inclusive. It takes everything that you are, everything that you do, everything that you have. Your calling is from God himself. This is where confusion and lack of purpose finds its way into Christianity. This is how we introduce Christ so many times to people. It's almost with that understanding that you don't have to commit so fully to this. that you can enter into a relationship with God. And as long as you don't feel the call into full-time service, that there's a lack of commitment or loyalty in the midst of this. That's how we've, in the West, that's how we have brought people into the kingdom. You've heard it said, and I think I've said, that Ravi Zacharias has said, the gospel you win people with is the gospel you're winning them to. So if you win them to a gospel that is exclusive of the super Christians, that's the gospel you've won them to. This calling from God, once again, overshadows everything else you do in your life. Every occupation, every way of life, every culture you walk into. Now, when you are practicing the primary call of life with God, engaging Him at deep levels, as Oz Guinness defined calling, the secondary calls that we have on our life find meaning and expression. They find fulfillment. They are met with the power of God. Now, this morning we're in the book of John. We started this book last week. So if you want to turn to John 1. You remember, John is he had that unique opportunity to walk alongside of God Himself. Jesus called him into a life with Himself that started while Jesus was walking this earth. And it's interesting, we talked about last week that here John is probably familiar with Jesus, maybe even before he met him, but knowing where he came from and what his dad did, knowing that he was just a normal guy, John is talking about Jesus here in this first part as the eternal God. In the beginning, meaning from the very start of anything, there was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And John talks about the eternal aspect or characteristic of Jesus Christ. And then he enters into a discussion a little bit later about the humanity of Jesus. But when he talks about Jesus being the light, he talks about Jesus being the creator, he then goes into a discussion about John the Baptist. So we are in John chapter 1, starting in verse 6. So John starts talking about a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness, that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came that he might bear witness of the light. So here the Apostle John is talking about John the Baptist, and is saying that this man was sent from God. He wasn't God, he wasn't the Messiah, but he was preparing the way for the Messiah. His primary call was to the person of Jesus. And then his secondary call was this proclamation that the King was coming, and that through him there would be light and life. He practiced baptism of repentance. John was unique, obviously, in his secondary calling, but that in no way overshadowed his primary calling, that his call was from God and to the person of God. Oftentimes we love to give attention and glory and focus and follow deeply those who are practicing a secondary calling, whatever it is. We love to have the visible expression of power of God working through somebody, but yet we love to give attention to the person that's bringing it, to the messenger. And I'm sure John, as he's preparing the way for the Lord, had to struggle sometimes with people asking him if he was the Messiah. Are you the one that's coming? Are you the one that's been proclaimed that he would be here to rescue us? And how many times he had to say, no, I am not. In fact, the one that's coming, I can't even bend down to unlace or tie his shoes. But we love to give credit to those expressing the second calling, a second calling. The problem is that those who are practicing a second calling, whether that's in ministry or in the medical field, in the professional world, whatever it is, we see someone operating with the power of God, and we begin to give them credit, and we begin to give them glory, and we start following them and not the person who we are primarily called to, the people start believing their own press. They sort of slip into that, well, I know I'm not God, I'm not the Messiah coming, but I do baptize in the name of God. I do baptize for repentance. I do have a following. And we sort of get ourselves caught up in believing our own press. The issue is that God oftentimes works powerfully still through a person, because his word does not return to him void, and he does intend to bring life to people in the hearing. However, to those people who are practicing a second calling, they lack depth. They lack character. Because they're not engaging God as their primary call. Does that make sense? Am I making sense? God, fortunately, is the one that's in charge of this. So I'm confident he will speak this to your heart. But look at the world today. How many people are practicing secondary calls? Some of them are popular. Some of them are in the popular eye. And yet, they have no character. If you were to meet them on the street, see how they treat their family, see how they engage people on an informal basis, they lack character because they're not practicing their primary call. They're not engaging God in life at deep levels. And so therefore, their secondary calling for themselves has lost its meaning. They begin to try to fill that void. When you lose the primary call, you're in trouble. C.S. Lewis says this, "Put first things first, and we get second things thrown in." Put first things first, you get the second things thrown in. Put second things first, and we lose both first and second things. We never get, say, even the sensual pleasure of food at its best when we are being greedy. Put the first things first, you get the second things. Practice the primary calling, you get the secondary calling, the fulfillment of your secondary calling. Put your secondary calling first, you lose both the fulfillment of the primary calling and the secondary calling. As only Lewis can do, he explains it like this. The woman who makes a dog the center of her life loses in the end not only her human usefulness and dignity, but even the proper pleasure of dog keeping. You put something that's not Christ at the center of your life, you not only lose Christ, you lose that pleasurable thing. You lose the fulfillment of that pleasurable thing, including an occupation, including a ministry, including an expression of a spiritual gift, including whatever you want to fill in that space. You put that as your primary calling, you'll lose everything. There was the true light, even the light which lighteth every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world knew him not. Why am I reading from the ASV? Sorry. Let me read that again. There was a man sent from God. I'm sorry. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Here the light of the world comes into the world through the Jewish nation, through Israel, They didn't even know him. How in the world could that happen? Got me thinking about what Jesus said to the Pharisees. He said, all right, you guys, and the religious leaders that day, he said, you did well. Yeah, you walked and studied and engaged and put your life into reading the scriptures, reading the prophecies, reading the law, and you missed the point. You missed me. I'm standing here right in front of you. You missed me. You missed the point of all the prophecies. You missed the fulfillment of the law. Here Israel is, the nation that was supposed to be, as a primary call, loyal, dedicated, engaged with God. He was giving them then the secondary call, then to be that proclamation. That through them, actually that's part of the primary call, to be the expression of God in the world, that through them all nations will be drawn to himself through this nation. And they focused on so many other things, so many other callings, so many other focuses. So that when the true light came in, guess what? They missed him. They missed him. That's scary for you and I. Here's a nation that was chosen to be the expression of God, and when he came to them, they missed him. They missed their Messiah. They are still walking around today, so many of them, looking for the Messiah, practicing these secondary callings, practicing some of these ministries, practicing their religion, and they missed him. Verse 12, but, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. To those who practice a primary call, he has given them the right to be children of God, with every right there is as a child of God, adopted into a family, co-heirs with Christ, to inherit everything. To those who practice their primary call and engage God in life and pursue him, he gave the right to be children of God. Blessings, gifts, resources, riches, all those things, inheritance that come along with being a child of God. That is the ultimate. I mean, what did Jesus say? First, focus on me and my kingdom. Everything else will be added. That's what he's saying. Primary call is to the person of Jesus Christ and to his kingdom. Everything else is going to be added. Because once you do that, you're children. Your inheritance is there. We are co-heirs with Christ. Amazing. I guess I'm not asking you to stop using the word calling. Secondary callings are great. Some are called to this kind of profession. Some are called to this kind of ministry. Some are called to practice and engage people with this kind of spiritual gifting. Some have this kind of leadership function. Some have this kind of personality. They have a calling to these certain things. They are all meaningless without a call first to the person of Jesus Christ. They will have no meaning, no fulfillment, no contentment in practicing these things without first pursuance of the first call to the person of Christ. In that practice, in that pursuit, there is character developed. There is knowledge and wisdom that is developed. Spend enough time with Jesus, he is going to, by his Spirit, make you more in his likeness. It's wonderful that he's given you gifts. It's wonderful he's given you profession. It's wonderful he's given you dreams. It's wonderful he's given you all these things that we could call calling. Pursue him deeply, that those things would find meaning. Let's pray. Father, you have called. While we were yet in darkness and ignorance, really in a place of destruction, your light came in and you called us into relationship. You called us into life with you. Forgive us for how many times we have set that aside for a calling to something secondary. And we may even been labeling it as a good thing. First of all, Jesus, you are worthy of our first attention, of our focus. You are worthy for us to give ourselves fully, everything that we have, everything we are, everything that we do, dedicated to you. And I thank you that the promise is there, that everything else will find meaning. Jesus, you are the light of the world. You came as one of us. You came into the creation that you made, and yet so many missed it. So many were busy on a secondary calling. I thank you that you are faithful, as we've already proclaimed today, that you draw us back into rhythms with you, that you call us, you beckon us, you draw us into deep and meaningful relationship, that we would gain your perspective on everything else that we do, everything else we give our life to. We love you for that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.